This is FBG Jen
and FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margot, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Our special guest is going to be Sarah Haley. This is a fantastic interview. We're going to be talking about pre-pregnancy, post-pregnancy, postpartum exercise, everything. And it is, there's so much information you guys are going to find today. Jen, you and I did this interview together. Tell them about it.
She was incredible. Like before, I just, especially if you're getting ready to have a baby, particularly like your first baby or you want to have a baby soon, like seriously, get out a piece of paper and a pen and be prepared to like take notes. Like that's how good it is. I was just going through our notes from it and I wrote down like, I don't know, 20 things. like everything. I loved it. She just goes over her own personal experience with kids, and she's taught so many different workouts, and she just gives so many different recommendations on what you should do and what you shouldn't do and how you should listen to your body, but how sometimes, and that was actually one of my favorite things that she said, was that even though, especially like when you're pregnant, you may think that something feels really good when you're working out, but that doesn't actually mean it's the best for you.
Right.
And particularly like your pelvic floor health. So, it is actually the interview that I wish I'd listened to and had before I had my daughter. I mean, that's how amazing it is.
It is so amazing. So, by the way, this is Margot.
And
we got so excited. So, on the line, we have Jen.
Hey.
And we have Kristen.
Hello.
So, yeah, Jen and I did this interview. Yeah, we're very excited. Jen and I did this interview a couple of weeks ago. And so I guess I wanted to ask, you know, you guys, what kind of questions do our readers and followers usually ask us, you know, when it comes to pre-pregnancy and stuff like that? And we definitely do address them in this interview, but just kind of talk about, you know, the information people seem to want.
Yeah, we get so many readers, especially in Fit Bottom Mamas, that are, I mean, they're like, okay, I'm newly pregnant. What can I do and what can I do? Because they've kind of heard for so long. And Margo, I think you ask about like heart rates, mm-hmm. heart rate and stuff for pregnant women working out interview, and she kind of talks about that. So I think a lot of stuff you can do when you're pregnant. And then we have a lot of women who are just like, hey, I'm thinking about getting pregnant. Like, what workouts should I be doing to help with that? Is there anything that's like too far and that will hurt that? And Sarah talks about that a little bit as well. And then we have so many readers. It's like all the phases, like before pregnancy, during pregnancy, and then after pregnancy. We have so many women too that, you know, they just had the baby and they're like, I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to get back to where I was. How can I lose this weight? How can I get my strength back? And she really does touch on all of that.
I wonder how much of that is, I'm just like talking, you know, thinking this just popped into my head, but I wonder how much of that is because we fetishize pregnancy, you know, in general, but especially with celebrities, you know, the second they get a baby bump, you know, we're supposed to notice it. Yep. And there's all this pressure on actresses, you know, who get pregnant to lose the baby weight right away and look a particular way. Like she's got to look exactly like she was before, after, yep. you know, within a few weeks. So I wonder if that's also part of the anxiety that's being fed out there about all this.
Oh, I think so. I think that you know, we talk about body image all the time. Mm-hmm. But I feel like body image stuff with moms is just, It's crazy because there are all of these celeb, I quote unquote, ideals, you know, that are, I mean, what is it? How many supermodels, like they have a baby and then it's like 6 weeks later, they're like walking on the Victoria's Secret runway, mm-hmm. like in yeah. nothing, you know, and that's, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And it's yeah. like, that is amazing. That is also highly unrealistic for like 99.9% of the population, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to keep in mind, like these women were, they had good genetics to start with because yep.
right.
they were already
yep.
supermodels.
They were ectomorphs.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just not a body type that a lot of us have to begin with, even if we are, you know, like if we work out really regularly and eat really well, most of us still don't look like Giselle. And that's fine. And then, you know, this is their job. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if your job revolves around your hands working really well, then I bet you are extremely kind to your hands. You do all the right exercises you would need to do to keep your joints working perfectly. If you're supposed to be moisturizing, you do that. You know, if like you take extremely good care of the things that allow you to make your livelihood. So, you know, these women, like, they have a baby and they are very fortunate to be able to just turn around and be like, okay, so my two priorities right now are, you know, take care of my baby and get myself back in shape so that I can go to work. I mean, that's what they do for a living. So most, you know, I would say that there's probably very few of our readers who fall into that category. So go into it with kindness and self-love, mamas.
Yeah, totally.
And really, like, what, you know, I think a lot of women, like, instead of spending the first, you know, 6 to 12 months with your new baby, like, being really obsessed with how you look and where you're not or where you need to be. I mean, that's a really, like, special time that you only get that newborn stage, you know, once for that kid. So just, I mean, you've got a lot of demands on you.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's, put that outside pressure, you know, it'll come. And I think Sarah says this, and I've heard a lot of fitness experts kind of say the same thing, is just, you know, it took you 9 months to grow the baby. Like, it's going to take you at least that long to get back to kind of where you were. And you may never be the same. Your body has gone through something, I mean, if you stop and think about it, truly miraculous, you know, just like amazing. So
I was thinking back to our interview with Jillian Michaels. You guys remember that? And like all the things that happens to the body, like we were all blown away, like all the research that she did, like all the great things that happen to your body when you're pregnant too. It's not like you're just doing damage to your body, you know,
right.
You know, there's a host inside you for a few, like you're a host for something for a few months. There's wonderful things happening to you too. But I know this as, you know, as an instructor, as a trainer, you know, pregnant women would come into my class, and like when you're getting your certification, you spend maybe an hour, you know, on pregnancy, pre and post, maybe. And then like, you know, you re-up your certification every like 3 years or so. So you forget a lot of stuff. And some things just go out of fashion. You learn other things. Like when I first started teaching, like about almost 10 years ago, they would say every woman needed to wear a heart rate monitor, and you can't get your heart rate over 140. If it goes over 140, tell them they have to stop. And like 140 is nothing. It's
nothing.
It is nothing. So the information is always changing. So I was just saying to you guys before we're off the air that I think this episode is really, really important for fitness instructors, for trainers, for people who write about health and fitness. I think this is just going to be a really important show to listen to. But be prepared. There's a lot of lady parts being discussed. If you are.
Oh, yeah. Vaginal birth and pelvic floor health and peen and breasts. And there's all kinds of stuff in there.
It's a big lady party. And so if you're squeamish about that stuff, you know, I say, okay, maybe, you know, thank you for the download. We'll have something new next week. But otherwise, I think this is a really important show to listen to. And I'm really, and by the way, Kristen, you didn't know this. Sarah was the first person we asked the last question to that she was all prepped for because she listened to our other episodes.
Oh, yep. How cool.
Isn't that awesome?
It was so awesome.
Super cool.
Yeah, she was great. So great. So let's just go right into this episode. We are talking with Sarah Haley. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Today our guest is Sarah Haley, who is an LA-based fitness specialist and creator of 3 award-winning programs, the Excuse Proof Workout, Sweat Unlimited, the prenatal workout, Expecting More, and the postnatal program, Expecting More, the 4th trimester workout. With over 15 years of experience in the fitness industry and 7 years as a Reebok master trainer, Sarah has a passion for helping people stay fit, healthy, and strong in the safest and most effective ways possible. She is here today to talk about pre-postnatal fitness while she is pregnant with her baby number 3, by the way. Welcome to the show, Sarah Haley.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah, so on the line today is myself, Margot, and we have Jen.
Hey! Hey.
And we have my cat just jumping around my lap for some reason. That's okay. Everyone wants to meet you, Sarah.
Make a cameo.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, kitty cat.
So, Sarah, this is Margot. I'm a fitness instructor, and I teach a core training class every Sunday at my local Y. And we have a lot of instructors and trainers who listen to our show. And I just wanted to ask you, what's your best advice for newly pregnant women for basic modifications, prenatal and even postnatal, like what they keep in mind for your workouts during your pregnancy?
Yes. Thank you for asking that, because you're right. Unfortunately, a lot of instructors don't know. So also my moms-to-be and new moms that are, you know, listening, please take action for yourself, because unfortunately not everybody in the fitness industry knows what to tell you. And I would also say for my fitness instructors, it's actually almost more important for the brand new moms.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as you're asking, you know, is anybody in the room pregnant? Is anybody in the room just had a baby? Because that is also when I get really concerned about women doing the wrong core exercises. So the most important thing I would say, and unfortunately the industry has gotten away from this in general, is crunches.
Mm-hmm.
Crunches are probably the worst thing that you can do post-baby and definitely pretty much useless during pregnancy. You know, even if they don't feel bad, they aren't doing anything for you except possibly exasperating the gap that's going to occur in your abdominals due to the pregnancy. So crunches, I would say, are absolutely out. And the rule in a lot of books or with ACOG is that you should stop at 20 weeks. In my opinion, when you find out you're pregnant, just stop doing crunches. There's no reason to do them anyway, so just take them out of your repertoire. And then the other big thing that I would say is to lay off on the twisting, and I want to define that real quick. Twisting is when your hips stay put and you're just literally rotating your torso. On the other hand, rotation is really great for pregnancy. So if you're rotating and moving from your feet on up, so that's like a really easy modification for instructors to give, is if you have something like a Russian twist in your class, whether it's standing or whether it's like a bicycle on the ground, to just tell your pregnant and new moms to go from their feet. So if it's a standing situation, to rotate from their feet so their body is moving as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have oblique activation, but it's initiated from the lower body. And then if it's on the ground, that's probably the hardest thing to give your people modifications for. I would say your go-tos, really, if you're in a crunch position and the whole class is crunching, and, you know, most pregnant women don't want to be the one that's, like, standing up doing their own thing, I would say the best thing to give them are bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So with your feet flat on the floor and lifting your glutes and have them work on making their core stronger, which includes your butt and your hips and your back. So the bridges are probably the best thing there. Or if you're doing any sort of plank work for an extended period of time, there is so much different research out there right now talking about planks and whether they are good for pregnant and new moms. And my rule with planks is in moderation and minimalization. So if you're going to go into a plank, just don't hold it very long and don't do it every single day. So the best thing there is going to be on all fours, you know, reaching opposite arm and leg, and doing some cat, but maybe not so much cow anymore, meaning you're going to round your back, but then my recommendation is to go to a neutral position rather than arching the back a whole lot.
Wow. I know. You're blowing my mind right now.
That's really good information. I just started taking notes.
I can talk all day about this stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so funny because so much of this is kind of changing and evolving. And I have so many things to ask you. But I think this is a good kind of segue, because I feel like there is kind of this dual situation happening with most women where you're like, oh, I'm pregnant, like I need to rest, or I need to be, you know, like not move, or I'm afraid to do the wrong exercise, so I'm not going to do any exercise. And then you have women that are like doing badass things, like they're running marathons pregnant and doing CrossFit pregnant and like all this like insane stuff that does seem like really badass. So how do you feel kind of about how women can find that middle ground of what's best for them and their baby and is research supported, but, you know, also kind of makes you feel like, you know, like you're still a little bit of a badass.
Right. And it is so hard now because of social media.
Yeah.
And yep. I've actually had to take people certain off my feeds because I get so insane about seeing some of the crazy stuff, because obviously I follow a lot of pregnant and new moms, whether they're instructors or just trying to be inspiring women.
Yeah.
And it is such a fine line. And here's what I will say. First and foremost, and this is what I've always said, is to listen to your body and do what's best for you. Here's what I will also warn to my first time moms. And goodness knows I have been there. This is my third baby. And what feels good is not always good for you. And it's really hard to tell when you're a first-time mom and your body has not been pregnant before. Mm-hmm. And because I remember that feeling. My first pregnancy, I was doing plyometrics and jumping jacks and jumping rope and jumping on a rebounder and all these things that felt good because my pelvic floor was probably the strongest it ever was and ever will be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, now in my third pregnancy, a friend was asking me, like, what is so different this pregnancy? And it is that I am so much more mindful of not only how I feel now, but how I know I will feel after this baby is out and what I want my body to be capable of. So as much as running a marathon might feel okay to some women, what they're not realizing is in their postnatal recovery, it might be a little more challenging because of the pressure they put on their pelvic floor. The same thing I would say with CrossFit. Great if you feel strong enough to lift that incredibly heavy weight. But again, I don't think what they realize is how much pressure they're putting on their pelvic floor. Meaning, and if I can go into a little bit of detail, and I'm not trying to scare anyone, I just think people should be aware.
No, please, we need this information.
When you put that much pressure on your pelvic floor, right? I mean, everyone thinks, oh, well, all women after they have a baby, they're going to have some leakage, and then I can heal, I can do Kegels, and it's all done. Yes, I would say in the majority of cases, hopefully, that is the scenario. But what you don't know, if you don't really know, even if you don't do all that stuff, you don't know the tissue strength of your pelvic floor. And honestly, I would talk to your mother and find out, because some of this stuff is right here.
Wow. Yeah.
It's funny, after I had my, you know, after I had my first, I talked to my mom about this stuff, and she's like, oh, yeah, I have that too. And I was like, oh, well, that would have been nice to know.
All the stories come out after you have a baby. You're like, wait, why didn't anybody ever tell me about this?
Right. And I do believe that some of it is definitely the tissue strength that you are born with. And in severe cases, it's called a prolapse. And what happens is either the bladder or the uterus or the bowel can start to protrude through the vagina. And whether in some cases you will actually see it, which is obviously scary. And then in some cases it'll just be enough pressure that it'll be uncomfortable or you'll have a lot of leakage. And that's not just urine, that's like flatulence. But so there's these things that people don't talk about, for one, don't think about, and then think it's not going to be you. Mm-hmm. And you don't know until it's done. And that's why some of these more holistic coaches like doulas and pelvic floor specialists, and they talk about not doing these things because that's where their mindset is. It's not that they're all like hippy-dippy and it's that their mind is thinking ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your OBs. If you have a really conservative OB, that might be where their head is. So asking the question why is always really important. So that's my answer for the CrossFit and the marathoners. And the other thing that I've had a lot of concern over, anybody that follows me knows I talk a lot about diastasis recti, mm-hmm. primarily because it's something that I've gone through myself. But it's when the abdominals separate too much, and most often the thing that women complain about is they, you know, they've lost their baby weight, but they still look pregnant because their belly is protruding, which if I were to go through the details of diastasis recti, you would understand. I mean, if the abdominals separate too much, they're going to be pushing out, and it's going to be a little bit more challenging. And if you want me to talk more about it, I can, but it's going to be more challenging to get that flat belly that you want.
Right.
And I'm seeing all these quote-unquote inspiring pictures and videos, primarily on Instagram, of, you know, yogis doing these, you know, beautiful poses with their backs arched and doing tons of up dogs, and they're pregnant. And all I see, unfortunately, when I see those photos is, oh my goodness, your abdominals, what are you doing?
Yeah,
right.
And it is gorgeous, and I think, again, the hope in these women is that either they don't know or they just think that's not going to be me.
Yeah.
And so that is what is worrisome, I suppose.
Okay. So going back to, I became an instructor about 10 years ago, and I was told when I was first teaching, and, you know, you get like a couple of paragraphs in your textbook and whatever when they talk about pregnancy and stuff when you're getting your group fitness training. But anyway, he would say to me that your heart rate, the pregnant women should wear a heart rate monitor, and their heart rate should never go over 140 beats per minute. So is that something you agree with or you disagree with? I mean, where do you stand with
no.
heart rate in pregnancy?
Good. No, absolutely not. And even ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecology, they have changed that. And it's been different since like 1992 or around that frame. So
right.
The people spewing that are, they're super, super conservative. And keep in mind, too, when I say that, I'm by no means saying question your doctor, but keep in mind what your doctor is there for. Your doctor is there to primarily keep the baby safe.
Right.
So they're not always thinking about other things outside of that. So, you know, that's something your doctor's telling you. Just have a conversation about what you want to do and what your fitness level was prior. My problem with the 140 beats per minute is for a lot of us who are really, really fit, 140 beats per minute is like nothing.
Oh, it's totally nothing.
Yeah. So that's, that, you know, and then you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like,
right.
Literally go for walks and that's it. So that's not, I definitely don't agree with that. And so despite everything I just said about the CrossFit and the marathoners and all of that, women are still allowed and should do challenging things for themselves. I'm telling everybody, think into the future and think about what you're putting yourself at risk for down the road. You know, go for runs. I'm just saying, don't pound the pavement for miles and miles every single day so that your pelvic floor can stay intact. But you can still work hard. I will say get sweaty,
mm-hmm.
have fun, but be able to hold a conversation. That's kind of my guideline with pregnancy is don't go breathless so that you can't talk out loud, because the worry is just if you don't have enough oxygen, then what's going on with the baby?
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I know before you were talking about the, that's my dog. It's like the animal day, right? Like we got the cat, we got the dog. I was wondering if you could talk more a little bit about how women can strengthen their pelvic floor and prevent the ab separation, possibly with exercises before they get pregnant or while they're pregnant, and then obviously after they're pregnant.
Yes, so Kegels are a really great thing to do to make your pelvic floor strong. And if you're not pregnant and you're thinking about it, that is honestly the best time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you are pregnant, it becomes harder to feel those muscles. And then in your post-recovery, sometimes impossible to feel those muscles for a while. But this is simple, you all. I'm talking like 10 Kegels a day. I think some people think like, oh my gosh, I have to Kegel my brains out.
Right.
And it's Kegel, it's all the same. But it's just 10 a day, and it's really just squeezing the muscles that would stop you from urinating and stop you from passing gas. So it's a little bit more intricate than I think people really realize, but just squeezing those muscles and releasing and then doing them like any other exercise, you could do them for time. So try to squeeze and hold it for as long as you can and then release, or doing like quick reps. So that's the best way to work on your Kegels.
I mean, people could do that right now while they're listening. I mean,
oh,
you could fit
yeah,
that in any time.
And you all, like, the great part is they help you with a lot of other things. Like they right. might even turn you on, which is a great resource for other things.
Just like that's how you today, know
right?
Doing,
right. If it's yeah. if you're feeling those sensations, you're doing them right.
There you go.
For diastasis, here's where it gets tricky, because they used to think that diastasis occurred in obese and unfit people, and now it's happening. I consider myself neither of those things, and I had one. And you'll see dancers and athletes and fitness fanatics who have them, which to me, if you think about it, makes a lot more sense, right? Because these people have really tight abs, and in a lot of cases, they have six packs. And then you put a baby inside them. And especially if you're in my case, where my husband is a lot bigger than I am, so I have these like 8.5 pound babies, and I'm like a 5 foot, you know, girl,
ooh,
woman. And so I have these bigger babies inside this really smaller body. So it's no wonder that as that baby grows and pushes, and the uterus pushes on my abdominal wall, that those abs would be like, what? And just separate almost too much in comparison to my body, because that baby is so much bigger inside my small body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's happening, is it's not just this occurs in unfit and obese people. This isn't anybody, but a lot of times in those of us who have not given our abs a break. And I remember I had a girlfriend before I had my first son saying to me, like, Sarah, my advice to you is stop doing crunches. And she was not a fitness person, so I was like, I don't even know what she's talking about. But she had told me it was because she was really uncomfortable during her pregnancy, too. And I remember that with my first one, too, where I could feel the skin stretching. But I didn't get my diastasis with that child, actually. I got it with my second one. Hmm. But what you can start or stop doing, again, are crunches. Mm-hmm. So think about making your core strong as a whole, not just your abdominals. So all the supporting muscles, your obliques and your glutes, mm-hmm. and your low back, and opening up your hips and doing other things like that. That's what I would recommend, you know, prior to pregnancy or during your pregnancy, and avoid those movements that we talked about in the beginning, the crunches and the twisting.
So our readers often ask about what if they need to change their workouts in order to boost their chances of getting pregnant. So what kind of advice would you offer there?
Oh, this is a tricky one, you guys.
I know.
I've been getting emails about this a lot. And my experience with both myself and other people is this is so individual, because I know people who have been super, super fit who've had fertility issues, and I know people who've been on the opposite end of the spectrum who have fertility issues. So it's not always going to be about body weight and body fat, mm-hmm. which I think is where a lot of people's heads go. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion, right? So this is not doctor or medical advice, is eliminating stress. So if your workouts are stressful, what about them is stressful? Is it that you're trying to do them for too long? Are they too long of workouts? Is it too often? Is it the type of workouts that you're doing? Are you doing CrossFit and it totally freaks you out because you're just trying to beat your time? Then maybe you do need to add a little more yoga into your life or something like that. But to me, and I live in LA where I'm 38 years old, and people consider me young for having another child.
Wow, really?
Oh yeah, I had my first son at 32, and they told me I was like the youngest person that had been in that hospital in a while. So people in their 40s in LA are like just maybe starting to think about having kids. I mean, I have friends in their mid 40s that are like, maybe I'll have another one, and I'm like, dude, let's go, like make a decision, like let's go for it. what are you waiting for? That's what I'm around. So I am around a ton of people who have fertility issues. And the number one thing that I've seen change when they do finally get pregnant is that they've either just, for lack of a better word, given up. And so that to me has made their life more stressless. I've seen people change their workout schedules, and it's not always, but in both areas, right? Right? Like starting to exercise and then they get pregnant, or just changing, like I was just talking about, changing how much they're doing or what they're doing. So that has been in my opinion, what I have observed. I don't have a perfect answer for that one, but I do get it's a question I get asked a lot. And I would say if there are ways that you can make your life healthier in a stress-free way, that's the way to go.
Yeah, that is so. And I mean, that kind of goes along with our entire approach is just like, you know, there's no one right – well, sometimes there's one right way to do it, but everyone is a little bit different. I think that – that really speaks to that.
No, and I do think a lot of times, like, the super fit people get the, oh, well, it's because, you know, you have no body fat, and that's why you're not getting pregnant. And oftentimes that's not what it is.
Yeah.
It might be what they're doing, or maybe it's the food, or who knows, or maybe it's their hereditary.
There's a lot of things. Yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of things.
And the more you blame yourself, I think the worse it gets. So stress for me is my advice.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to talk a little bit more about the fourth trimester. I guess first, maybe you just kind of say what that is. But one of the things that I feel like I have a daughter who is two. She'll be two here a little bit in a month. But I was not prepared for. I just kind of thought that like once I had her, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I'll wait some weeks. I'll see how I feel. My body will tell me once it's ready to go, and then I'll start working out. But I eased back in. But the thing that I really wasn't prepared for was just like, I read everything on how to breastfeed, and so I had kind of like was lucky enough that nursing was going well, but I had like no idea what to do with my boobs in workouts because I didn't have like large boobs before, and now they were larger and they like needed more support, but because I was breastfeeding, they were also, you know, like filled with milk, you know.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
just I was not prepared for that in the least. And I actually one of the first times I went out, and I did have like this was, I think, I want to say Gwen was like at least 4 months old or something. And I went out for like one of my like better, like I went for a jog and it felt really good. And, you know, I felt more normal. And I came back and I, just like I would have like before I had kids, I stayed in my sweaty sports bra for like hours. Oh yeah.
Oh no.
And right? It's like no one had ever said, like, you need to take off your sports bra because, hello. And, yeah, I ended up with clogged ducts and mastitis, and it was terrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, so anyone listening, take off your sweaty sports bras immediately.
That's really great advice.
Right? But I was wondering if you have any other advice for the fourth trimester and breastfeeding and workouts, because I feel like there's so much there that's just kind of not discussed. But it's a lot of problem solving.
Well, similarly to what we were just talking about, actually, another big question I get asked a lot is, I'm nursing and I'm not losing the weight that I want to lose. And I actually have a whole YouTube video about this. Because again, it just, that varies across the board. I know women who nursed and lost all the weight and more. I know women who've nursed and they can't drop a pound. Mm-hmm. And then I know women who actually, they had lost the weight and then they go to wean and then they gain some of it back, right? So it's, mm-hmm. It's all across the board, and we're also different, so you can't compare yourself to anybody. And I get asked a lot, too, like, I want to up my workouts, but I'm afraid I'm going to lose my breast milk.
Right.
And I'm like, well, yeah, you might be taking that chance. I have always, with both my boys, I did not lose, like, the last 5 to 7 pounds until I was done nursing. And I was not, because I had a certain goal with my nursing, I never was willing to take the risk and, you know, up my workouts or cut my calories until I knew I was done. And then, you know, then it was easy after that. But not easy to get the weight off, but, you know, to make a decision. So keep that in mind, that you don't know what your situation is going to be and you can't compare yourself to anybody else. In terms of the workouts themselves, I was very aware of what you were talking about when I created my first trimester workout.
Yeah.
I was very lucky that I did that workout after my second baby, so I had a lot more knowledge. And in the video is myself. In the video, I'm 5 months postpartum. And then I have a woman showing all diastasis recti modifications who's 15 weeks postpartum. And then God bless her, I got a girlfriend of mine in the fitness industry to go 8 weeks postpartum.
Wow.
And she had a C-section. So she's showing C-section modifications. All three of us were nursing on set.
Wow.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Probably like a number of breaks with ages. Yeah, exactly. Those kids.
And,
oh my gosh.
We had somebody checking to make sure nobody was leaking.
Oh,
and
man.
My point of that is really that all the exercises are designed to be comfortable for nursing.
Yeah.
Because I have seen some of that stuff too, you know, on social media where it's a postpartum exercise and they're like lying flat on your chest and you're like, this woman's definitely not nursing because that woman's not.
Right.
Right.
So I will say that we do cater to that, and also in terms of the bouncing around.
Yeah.
That can sometimes be really uncomfortable, and I'd love to hear you guys take on that. I mean, sometimes it's just wearing a double bra or just investing. Fortunately, there's some really great companies out there that make fitness nursing bras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I've also found that, like, moving comfort, I don't know how large they go up to, but they seem to have, like, really just good support all around. But I even had some, yeah, that were nursing sports bras. I think I got it like Kohl's or something. And there was a number of times because I would bring Gwen when she was itty bitty, I'd bring her to the gym with me and she'd like hang out like in the bouncer next to me while I did whatever. And then whenever she was ready, you know, was fussing and was getting hungry, then I would go off in, you know, like the locker room and
oh my gosh, awesome.
Nurse her sweaty. You know? Like, and I was like, this is weird. No one also prepared me for this. Like, it's not like sitting, you know, like in a pretty chair with like candles burning and you're like, I'm having this connection with my baby. You know, you're kind of in like a dirty locker room with sweaty boobs, you know, like trying not to sweat on your child. But, you know, you do what you can.
Oh, I think they don't tell you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then I feel I'm right in that place right now, actually, where I am 22 weeks pregnant, but with number three, everything's just been happening so much sooner. And I tried to go out with some friends last night and I could not find a bra to fit me.
Oh, wow.
My 2-year-old son's like in there like looking at the bra and he keeps going, no mama, no. I'm like, I know, I hear you, Lee. I'm like, no, these are not good.
So how has this pregnancy been different than?
Oh gosh, so different. So I don't know what I'm having. I haven't found out. I didn't find out with any of my children. And if you'd asked me in the first trimester, I would have been like, this has got to be a girl, because I was super sick and I had not been sick with my other kids, my boys. And now I feel the same. So, I mean, I feel the same in terms of just comfort and I'm not sick anymore. But I think because my body's been through these pregnancies, I will say, like I mentioned before, I'm a lot more mindful in my movement. The intense cardio doesn't feel as good this time around. I've been doing a lot more Pilates than I did with my other pregnancies. I'm a cardio junkie at heart. So I've always been a little more resistant to the Pilates work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really been my go-to this pregnancy. So that's been interesting in itself. And then just you're bigger, so everything happens so much sooner. So, like, I was barely showing, I think, with my first at this point in the game, and I look full-fledged, like, 6-7 months pregnant. People are like, how much longer do you have? And I'm like, I'm halfway.
Oh, my gosh.
Your body knows what to do. It's just like, we're doing this again. Here we go.
Yeah. So I would say I didn't feel like I need to get off my feet sooner by the end of the day. Just everything feels like a little more weighted down. So that's fun.
Like added resistance everywhere you go.
Yeah. But I feel like I know what I'm doing. So that part's good. You're not like questioning everything. I feel like I know what I'm doing.
So going back to just, you know, going back to your first time, your first pregnancy and you're working out, or you're an instructor once again, and you have a pregnant student coming to class, what are other core moves that are safe but challenging for pregnant women in addition to bridges and modified planks? Can you think of any others?
Yeah, this would be my suggestion for instructors when they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to have her do?
Right.
If she is comfortable standing up, or especially if you're in a one-on-one training session,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to think, what can I give her? You could almost do any exercise except for one that twists standing up. So meaning, like, let's say you are doing, I don't know if I can describe this. Let's say you're doing a crunch on the ground that's like with a leg extension.
Mm-hmm.
So right when you would come up, your knee would come in, then you'd extend the leg back out. Mm-hmm. So like you could replicate that standing up by just doing like high knee lifts.
Oh.
If the baby's in the way, because you can engage your core that way without doing the, you know, the back and abdominal crunch. Really, they can engage as the knee comes up, but then they just come back to neutral. It's really the opening and closing of the rib cage that I'm looking to avoid so much.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, too, that you might need to bring the knees out to the side, too. Some other things that you can do on the ground. Let me see if I can describe this one, too. A lot of these actually are in my fourth trimester workout, too, so these are good for new moms. Would be something where you can lie on your back. And also, I would say the research has changed a little bit there, too. It used to be, like, get pregnant women off their back after 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm, right.
I would say to say get them off their back for an extended period of time. So if you're doing, like, a 5 to 10 minute thing on their back, they're fine. In addition to that, when you are taking them down to their back, and this is for my new moms too, especially if you're trying to avoid diastasis, roll onto your side always first. So again, okay. You're avoiding that big like crunch movement coming up. But getting back to the exercise in itself. So if you're lying on your back, and you can do this if you're giving the rest of your class crunches,
mm-hmm.
lift one leg. We could start with one leg up, and you're going to take your opposite hand. So if I'm on my back and my right leg is up in a tabletop position, I'm going to take my left hand and just push it against that leg. My head is not going to leave the floor, right? So we're not going to go into a crunch position. My head's going to stay on the ground. And I'm just going to have a little bit of resistance between my leg and my hand. So as I push my leg into my hand, I'm going to push my hand into my leg. I call it the resistance fight. And what that's going to do is going to put the focus into your core so you can just focus on engaging. It's going to feel like kind of like an upside down plank, right? So you're on your back instead of holding the plank position. And you're just going to breathe in and out and do that. You can also do it with both legs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have both legs up. And then if you cross your arms, is this coming through as I'm describing this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crossing your hands will activate the obliques. So if you have both knees up in tabletop and you put your hands on opposite knees, so your arms are crossed, and you have your resistance fight there, you'll feel your obliques activate, which is really nice too.
Oh, that's good.
And instead of twisting, if you're standing up and you're having like your whole class do like Russian twists or something, you can have your, they can have their hands behind their head, on their shoulders, on their chest, wherever. and they can go lateral. So, like, I take a lot of bar classes, and there's a lot of twisting in bar classes, and anything that they do there, I put my hands up, and I just rock laterally side to side.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah, I will say, because people, pregnant women are always asking me, like, what can I do to spice it up? I'm like,
Not much.
Wait. Just wait.
Spicing it up. When it comes to, and that's why if you're working one-on-one or if I'm creating a video for, you know, if they're doing one of my videos, you'll notice a lot of it is working on the limbs and everything that's supporting your belly.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't so much pressure on that and that you can get everything else strong. And then when the baby's out, you can start to focus on that stuff again in a safe way.
And what do you recommend for, kind of the timeline for, I guess, an already fit woman to kind of get back into workouts after having a baby?
Well, I would definitely say make sure you go by your doctor's guidelines, because I get that email a lot too. My doctor said I can't go until, you know, I can't work out until 6 weeks, so what can I do? And I'm like, do what your doctor told you.
Right, yeah, always.
They were there for your birth. They saw what was going on. They saw the insides of your body.
Yeah, right.
So that would definitely be my advice. If you are a crazy person, which I put myself in that category as well, just so you know, ask your doctor for specifics. So I did not have such a specific doctor with my first pregnancy with my oldest. And I changed doctors, and that was actually part of the reason why. And my doctor this past time, and who I have now, she was very specific in my postnatal recovery, but I also knew to ask questions. She literally gave me things like, I don't want you carrying your son, not the baby, but my older son, mm-hmm. You know, anywhere until it was like a month out. I don't want you pushing a stroller for 2 weeks. Like, she gave me very specific instructions, and that was so helpful to me. Doctors don't know what to tell you if you don't ask them. So again, right. Same way with your pregnancy workouts. Like, what can I, if you're asking them, what can I do? If you have some sort of high-risk pregnancy and something's going wrong, and I get a lot of those emails too, you know, my doctor said I can't do this, what can I do? Then you need to explain to your doctor what you want to do so that they can tell you yes or no. If you don't tell them, they don't know. And the same thing for your post-recovery. I want to go and swing a kettlebell. Well, they may not even know what a kettlebell is. But
right. That may have happened to me.
What I do. Yeah. So I would say be specific with that. In general, to answer your question, most guidelines for a vaginal birth are 4 to 6 weeks, doing not a whole lot, to be quite honest. Maybe going for some walks, but I don't recommend lifting weights. I don't recommend doing any serious core exercises or any high impact movements for that time period. And then for most C-sections, I haven't heard anything under 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, in both situations, you have stitches. And that's what I think people don't realize, too, is those stitches really need to heal, especially if they are in intimate places in your body.
Right.
Yeah. Don't mess with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body has been through a lot. Like, a lot.
Yeah, and I do. I understand the crazy. I understand it less now, I think, now that I've been through it a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I do understand that, and... it's so not important in the long run. Like, it is and it isn't. Like, you will eventually feel good, but I just let your body heal so that you can do more.
Yeah. And I wish that, after I had Gwen, I kind of, you know, I use exercise a lot to, you know, get stress out, and it's a normal part of my day. So I was just itching to do something. You know, I wanted that back. And so then we would do not very long, but slow walks and stuff like that, just so I could kind of get some of that back. But I wish that maybe before I had her, I would have been better off if I'd found some other positive ways to de-stress that weren't just exercise.
Right.
Because I think that if I had that to kind of fall back on, then I would just be like, all right, I'm not going to do this until then, so I'm going to meditate or, you know, whatever it is I'm going to do. But yeah. It wasn't like, for me, it wasn't like, oh my God, I gotta lose weight or anything. It was just like, oh my God, I really miss
it. I need my sanity, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially you have a stressor. Yeah, you have a big stressor, you know, a new person in your life that you're caring for. It's a lot of newness. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect word for it, is it's so much newness. And that, too, I would say is the difference between my first and my third pregnancy is, you know, when I was pregnant with my first, I still needed that, like, I have to work out every day, whether it was every day or whatever, 5 to 6 days a week. I needed that to feel whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I know that I'll be okay if I don't have that.
Yeah.
Like, you're okay, Sarah. Like, you did 15 minutes. Good for you. You're all right.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be all right. And I think that probably comes with age too. So as much as I say some of this stuff, it's just, it doesn't happen until it happens sometimes.
Yeah. But that's a very loving place to be, you know? Just like, nope.
It is.
I respect, honor what I need for my highest good.
Yeah. Right. Right. And it's just part of becoming a mother. Your priorities change, right?
Yeah, true story.
So can you tell us about your DVDs and digital downloads so our audience can get in touch with you and check out your workouts? Because I know I'm going to, because I need more of this in my life. So can you tell us about that?
Sure. Yes. You can get all of my DVDs on Amazon. That's definitely an option. You can just go on Amazon and search Sarah Haley. Or you can go to sarahhaley.com. where there are both DVDs and digital downloads available. The nice thing with the digital downloads, obviously, is that you can take them anywhere, but also you can pick and choose. Let's say you don't like cardio. Well, I've got tons of core workouts on those DVDs too, and you could just focus on those and just get those if you wanted. Expecting More, like you mentioned, is my pregnancy workout program. There will probably be some more Expecting More workouts coming soon.
Cool.
And the fourth trimester, I will say this. I love the title because to me, that is really what postnatal recovery is. It's the fourth trimester. You have to kind of treat your body.
Yeah.
In some ways, like it was pregnant. But at the same time, I think people think fourth trimester, like, oh, well, I had my baby 3 years ago. There's no way I'm in the fourth trimester. Well, you might be.
Mm-hmm.
So that workout is actually for any mom that doesn't feel whole, that doesn't feel like your core is intact, that doesn't feel like your cardiovascular endurance is where it once was, you don't feel strong as you once were. Like, that's who that is for. It is for any mom that is still in that place in her life. And then Sweat Unlimited, I created a year after I had my oldest, because I all of a sudden didn't have any time to, I didn't have as much time to work out as I once did. So on that workout program is a 5 minute, 15 minute, 30 and a 45 minute. Cause the whole concept there was I need something no matter how much time I have in my day. And sometimes I don't know how much time I'm going to have. So I want it at my fingertips.
That's awesome. I think, Margo, is it okay with you if I ask your final question?
No, go for it.
I want to get too much of your time.
Trying to take all this information in. You're a great interview, by the way, Sarah.
Oh my God, I know.
By the way, I just wanted to mention too, I have been loving your podcast. I was so excited. You guys know I'm a big fan of yours. We've worked together on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just so excited when you guys came out with your podcast. I feel like I know you just from listening to the beginnings of it.
Aww.
And then the people you've had on have been phenomenal, and I just think you guys are great interviewers and just give out really worthy information. So congratulations on it, because I've been, when I was in bed sick this weekend, I was like, oh, I know what I'm listening to.
Hey. That's awesome. Thank you.
So I caught up on everybody. I've listened to your last four podcasts with Cassie and Autumn and...
Hey, thank you. I mean, and that's what I think we have had, like you, we've had some amazing guests, and it's so cool. Like, you have given so much, like, very usable information for people, and we just kind of had a nice, real, you know, conversation. Like, this is what it really is like.
Right.
Here you go.
Yes. It's awesome. You have to do a warning at the beginning of this one. If you don't really want to know.
Right.
Then turn this off.
The final question that we have, well, you probably know at this point because you've listened to it. This is not a surprise.
I'm going to tell you, I'll let you ask it.
Just play a cheat? Were you like, I'm going to play something really cool before
I listen to it, and then I'll tell you when I tell you what I listened to then.
Okay. So we want to know the very last song you listened to before you did this interview.
Okay. Please. So it's earlier in LA, so I have not turned on the radio. And I can walk my kids to school, so I haven't even been in a car. But as I gave my children a bath last night, we were listening to the Hamilton soundtrack.
Oh, that's great!
Yeah, right. That's what I expose my children to. It's great. It's actually a really great educational tool. And my oldest is 5, and he loves listening to The King. If you're not familiar with the soundtrack, he loves listening to The King sing. But the last song that I think was on repeat was Wait For It. So I don't know if you're familiar, but it's one of my favorites on the soundtrack.
Oh,
awesome. I have the Hamilton soundtrack. I'm just so sad because I live in New York and I have not been able to get tickets to see it. And even just like one seat is like $300 or something.
I know. I saw it early on in New York, and I actually even saw, believe it or not, a better version. I'm from Chicago. We took our parents for Christmas and we saw it in Chicago, and it was, I enjoy it actually even more than New York. I can't believe it.
You know, actually, wow. It's funny you mentioned that because I have friends in Chicago and they were talking about, why don't we get tickets and you just come over and you'll stay the night and we'll go see the show. So maybe we'll do that instead.
Yeah, I will say some of the actors they have in there, actor singers are just off the charts. And maybe it was because it was the second time for me seeing it. And so right. I, you know, understood a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they do speak very fast or rap very fast.
Yeah.
And I was more familiar with the soundtrack, but it's great. It's a great one, honestly, as a teaching tool with your kids. I mean, my child knows much more about the war than I would have thought to tell him at this age.
There you go. I love it. That's very appropriate for our whole conversation, too. There was something that you listened to with your kids as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. We loved having you on. We have to have you on again because I'm sure you and Jennifer and I are going to come up with a whole bunch of other questions. Like, we should have asked her this. We should have asked her about that.
We can go down so many rabbit holes.
Oh, God, so many. So write to us, podcast@fitbottomgirls.com if you have more questions, and maybe we'll have Sarah on again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love this show? Tell us why in a 5-star review on iTunes and we'll read it on the air. Also, make sure you are a subscriber. If you want to reach out to say hi or have a question about a recent episode, yay, well, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if this podcast jives perfectly with your brand, consider sponsoring the show. Get more info by emailing advertising@fitbottomgirls.com. Find all kinds of Fit Bottom goodness online and on social media at Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Mamas, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Zen. And if books and movies are your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thanks for listening.